Right. I was back there crying like a baby. I was blessed. Man, God is good and He's real and He's alive and He's a God of ancient days, but He's also a God of today, you know? He's a God that's alive and active, powerful. And I'm excited to be one of His children. I'm excited to be here in this gathering with you all. And I'm excited about what He has in store. So I'm going to invite my friend Kuihi Song up, and she's going to play a special song. This is part of what we do when we go on trips and different places to minister. We minister in song and word, and we just do a little bit of everything. So enjoy.
It's really good to be here with you again. It's amazing grace to be here stand before God.
I'd like to invite the whole mission team up, please. And we're going to share a short video, and then we're going to do some testimonies. So you guys can all come up here. There's two people, a friend named Nelda. She's a very instrumental part of this group. Everyone here is just so important to what God has done and he's doing. And Nelda's a missionary to China also, and so she's in China now. And Christian, you may all know Christian, tall guy, plays guitar. Yeah, he's working. So then now I would like to introduce the team. This is Patrick Carey. He's a senior leader at the Prayer House in Chico, and we partnered together in the ministry on Chico State campus, where Prayer House Chico State. Patrick works in ministry full time, and he's a good friend of mine and an anointed man of God for sure. And this is Mother Maggie Carey, and she's a missionary to China, and she's also a very, very gifted woman of God, and she's been in China for 13 years doing some powerful things in China. So it's a pleasure to partner with her in Mongolia. This is Kuihi Song. She's a she's actually the faculty advisor to our ministry on Chico State campus. She's a professor in Chico State. Also a very loving, gifted woman of God. So we're going to share some testimonies. We'll talk a little more. But we're going to play the video real quick. So if you guys can hit play, I'm going to get out of the way a little bit. So. Thank you.
beauty that makes you strong. Friends in the crowd. Oh, I want to sing again for my brother now. Find my way down.
Man, Mongolia is one of the least reached places on the planet, and so it was quite the experience to have to go to a place where the church was almost non-existent, you know, and but to see the power of God there still, you know, and so I just want to share a couple of minutes of testimonies before. We'll take turns, so I just want to share a little bit of what God showed me and what really stood out to me, and that's what we're going to do, so, for testimonies. And so, one thing that really stood out to me in Mongolia, so I'm not sure if everyone knows where Mongolia is. It's above China and under Russia, so it's right in the middle. Climate's really bad, and they don't have, nobody has gardens or nothing, so it's basically, yeah, they have, there's many languages, but they have the Mongolian language, which is a very difficult language. It is an interesting language. And most of the country is nomadic. So we have the capital city, which is, there's several blocks that are more modern. And the city is developing rapidly, but the rest of the country is just basically tents and cattle, like in the Old Testament time and Moses' time and stuff. So that's how they live there. And, but at the same time, they got an incredible sense of fashion. So they live in tents, but they come out of the tents dressed really nicely. They're very artistic and beautiful people, very kind, gentle people, very simple-hearted, just loving people. I mean, they're absolute a hidden treasure of God, you know. And what an honor to go over there and see what God sees and to be a part of that. And so they literally, what people try to make style here that people are trying to attempt to certain styles, they master them, so they're looking good over there in Mongolia. They're good music, and yeah, but so we went, the team went to South Korea last year, and South Korea has just absolutely been took over by God, and it's God's land, and the majority of the country is just, it appears to all be Christian, you know, you just have that feeling, and you see churches absolutely everywhere, and it's got the world's largest church, and just powerful people of God there. I mean, but what I experienced in Korea was, you just feel in your spirit that the place is prayed up, you know? Because these are like some of the biggest prayer warriors I've ever seen. People pray. That's what they do in Korea. It's the prayer house of the world. But you could feel, the point is, you could feel the atmosphere that it's prayed up. You could feel the atmosphere that it's God's, you know? So my thought was, Mongolia is going to be the opposite, you know? Because the Christians are so few that it's going to be the opposite. It's going to be an oppressed atmosphere. So I was expecting that, you know? And I was completely wrong. The atmosphere, the presence of God was there everywhere. It was absolutely incredible how much God was, how active God was and how much He was there. And He made it extremely evident to me and to us, you know? It's like I felt the eyes of God all over the place. And the heart of God and the grace of God there, you know. He wasn't condemning the people of Mongolia, but He was embracing them in love, and He was setting it up. He was setting the place up that He can pour out His love and reveal Himself to them. So it was quite the experience to see that, man, God is the Father, you know. And He's so active in the politics there, and He's just sending people from other countries that are extremely influential in the country to the development of the country. And they're godly people. They're people who are sent by God. And it's just amazing to see God has got a plan for Mongolia, you know? And it was such a beautiful experience. And the church there is very small, but they are passionate, you know? And church half the size of this, probably less. I mean, these people believe, you know? They believe God, and they have big, they dream big, you know? They dream very big. So I walked into church, it was a tent, literally a tent church. And they had the biggest vision I'd ever seen in my life. I was like, you know, we have visions for our communities and stuff like that. But these people had a vision to take the land, like take the nations, like literally. They had a map on the back of the church with the country of Mongolia and China, and basically had all this huge plan to just take over, you know. And they were going for it. They weren't just dreaming. They were going. They were sending out missionaries, teams of missionaries. And actually, when we got there, the pastor wasn't even there. He was on a mission team. And his wife had just died, you know. So, I mean, of cancer, yeah, it was horrible for it, but, I mean, the commitment is just incredible, and I believe that's what God's going to do here. God's going to give us a fresh perspective on missions, you know, a fresh perspective on reaching out, and that's what we need, amen? Just need a fresh perspective, you know, because it's so fresh there, that the church is so new, and it's so fresh, and it's so pure, that they don't have all the church, you know, the churchy stuff. It's not there, so... They don't have denominations and they don't have anything but just genuine faith, you know, pure faith. And I'm saying that we don't have that here, but I'm saying is that God is restoring that, and I believe that He's going to give us a fresh perspective on that, and it's going to drive us as they're driven, you know. So if you guys got any questions for me,
how large is Mongolia?
Mongolia has got a population of. Very small population, about several million people. But the land is pretty big, though. The number of people is very small.
We can relate it to around here. What's the average mean elevation there?
Elevation? Do you know that?
There's a lot of hills and mountains, but I don't know.
It's a very interesting land because you got desert, you know, and then you got mountains, so...
Well, yeah, you see a lot of pictures of it, and of course the mountains are there, but where they're grazing their livestock, it kind of looks like that bleak country up around Altura.
Yeah, the climate's not that great over there. And,
do they have snow?
Yeah, they get snow. They get quite a bit of snow. They're way up. And it gets really cold down up there, too. Yeah, so, Chandra?
What was your favorite thing that happened?
My favorite thing that happened was, wow, everything was amazing. what happened was, we really were functioning powerfully in the prophetic. So, what was really interesting is a lot of the words that God was giving us were like right on, and we were just like getting people's visions and stuff, like, pastor's visions. He's like, I got a word for you, you know, and he's like, well, that's my vision. And so God was just really powerfully moving in the prophetic, and they weren't experiencing that. So God is releasing that there in Ulaanbaatar where we were at, and people were hungry for it, you know. So they weren't afraid of it. They weren't weirded out by it, but they embraced it because it was very effective, you know, and they were hungry for it, and they wanted it, and they wanted us to teach them how to do it. And so it just really kind of set a fire, you know. So that was pretty interesting to me. Yeah.
What does your main diet consist of? Do they get fresh vegetables and fruit?
They have a lot of stuff. Most of the stuff's imported. So they do have fruit and vegetables, but they usually just eat meat. Instead, they have a lot of meat. They have yak and camel and horse and lamb. Mutton, yeah. Pretty good food, actually. Shish kebabs and stuff. Actually, it was Steve. I went to a barbecue just like yours. It was actually established in the year 1203. It was an 800-something-year-old restaurant. Yeah. Yeah. They were cooking just like on your thing. No, it was more, I mean, they had probably fixed it up several times since 1203, but... It's the original. It's called the original Mongolian barbecue, so. You guys is better though, honestly. I like your guys' noodles better. They're so, I do got pictures on my phone. I gotta figure this thing out, but. Lori? Yeah, that's. The thing is, it, like, in the downtown area, it was pretty modern, but right outside of it wasn't so. Like, you literally go up a couple blocks and it was no running water, no bathrooms, you know, and lots of people. So, I'm not sure exactly if they buy water, you know, they purchase water. And, so there's no, you know, there's no wells and stuff around, and so most of the areas around the outside, but.
Are they healthy or is there disease? You say there's no running water and, you know, on the mountains, et cetera, on the streets, you see a lot of hysteria or something like that.
I didn't really hear too much about disease over there. It was pretty, yeah. Yeah, they figured it out, but we actually went to a restaurant and asked for water and they didn't have any. You know? So, any more questions for me? Because I'm going to introduce Maggie or Patrick. Where is Patrick? All right.
I want to share a story. This kind of happened in the beginning of the trip. And you saw the pictures of two of the churches we went to. The first one was a Father's Love Church, and they meet in a school. They actually have a prayer request because when school starts, they might have to look for a new building. But the other church, the Prayer House Church, and, you know, we're kind of representing the Prayer House in part, and it's kind of cool to go to the Prayer House Church, you know. And then the pastor got back from Russia, and he had visited the Prayer House Church in Russia, so that was kind of cool. So, but the Prayer House Church meets in a ger, which is kind of a big tent, you know. And I don't know how they fit all those people in there, but they did. So, you know, it's just amazing. A lot of churches actually meet in those big tents, you know, so. Which is pretty cool because I guess you could have like a mobile church, right? You can move it somewhere else. So, but we started out with a conference, and I call it a prophetic conference now. We didn't really know what it was going to be, but the Spirit just kind of was leading us to talk about prophetic ministry. And it was really encouraging. And we did some leadership training as well. But so we really focused on teaching about prophecy, right? And two of the churches really didn't seem to know much about that. And so one of the churches, there was a pastor there and his two children. And we didn't know, I mean, we didn't know who was who, right? They're just people to us. And so we taught about the prophetic, and then we did some ministry. And this pastor, both of his children got words that were right on, you know. And we didn't know they were related at all, but he, you know, he saw that, and that really meant a lot to him because he was kind of questioning, like, is this, you know, is this in the Bible? And so he really saw the fruit of it. And then he got a word too that was right on with his vision and heart. And then there was this associate pastor of the other church was there, of the Prayer House Church. And he was just really on fire. And we went to his church the following Sunday, and he got up and he said, "You guys all should have been at the conference and you missed out." And he was saying how he's going to do a class and talk about everything he learned. And so they were just really stirred up, you know. And that's what I wanted to do. Remember we shared before we left, and part of my heart was just to go and give them hope, you know. Because imagine if you were part of, you know, less than 2% Christian, right? And you're part of the minority, and that would be tough. You know, not only that, but Christianity is very new in Mongolia, and we found that out when we got there. The pastor of the Father's Love Church is a woman, and she didn't start the church. It was actually her husband who started it, and he was martyred about 6 or 7 years ago by some North Koreans. They found out that they poisoned him, you know. So imagine that, you know. And it's kind of a tough part of the world to be a Christian. And so she took over the church, and but they were some of the first Christians in Mongolia, if you can imagine that. And Pastor Yuna became a Christian 21 years ago. So imagine if, you know, the first Christians in Mongolia became Christians 20 years ago. And she said that their church is one of the first churches in Mongolia. I mean, you know, imagine that. It's all brand new there. And so we really wanted to give them hope. And Mongolia was the second communist nation in the world. So Russia and then Mongolia. And so they have a history of communism, although, you know, that's over now. But, you know, that's part of the reason why it was hard to bring the gospel to that nation. But one of the things that communists did is they started building cities. And so today in Mongolia, there's cities, there's parts of the city have running water and stuff. They're modernizing. But what that's done is it's made it possible to preach the gospel to these people in an effective way. Because nomadic people, they move around and it's hard to find them, right? But now you've seen millions, like there's a million people in Ulaanbaatar. It's a third, you know, a third to a half or something like that of the population. And guess what? These people are from all over the nation, right? I mean, I started asking people, like, where are you from? And they would say, like, way over here and way over there. These people are from all over the nation. And part of their heart is now that they've been, you know, learned about the Lord, they want to go and plant a church in their village. And it's just a huge opportunity to go to one city and preach the gospel to the whole nation, you know? And it's awesome. So we were really encouraged. And one thing that they said, Pastor Oyuna said, if you guys come back, we'll get even more churches to come. And so that's part of my heart, is I want to go back and do maybe a bigger conference. Really encourage them on preaching the gospel, because that's what they're passionate about. You know, and just give them tools. One thing we have in this nation is we have a lot of teaching, a lot of books, a lot of, you know, just rich history, right, of learning. And that's something that we can give to them. And they have a zeal and a passion, and that's something they can give to us. And so it was just awesome. We also saw some healing, and I mean, just they were just encouraged. And that's what I really wanted to go there and do, is to give them hope and encouragement. And so I think that happened. So yeah, just keep Mongolia in prayer, because they are a minority, but the gospel is growing. I heard a statistic just a few weeks ago that there's actually closer to 5% Christian. Okay? So before I left, I did a research and I found 2%. And so that tells me that the church is rapidly growing just in the last couple years, right? And so that's really encouraging. And so, amen. So who's next? Pastor Oyuna spoke English very well. She was our translator at the conference. There was also a lady at the other church who, this is kind of a funny story. We found out she spoke English. We were looking for a translator at the Father, at the Prayer House Church, right? They meet in the big tent. And, they found out that this lady spoke English. And so, but nobody knew it before that, but she kind of came out and said, okay, I speak English. And she ended up translating. It was the first time she ever translated. And so she did a wonderful job, but that was kind of scary for her. But and so a lot of people are learning English in Mongolia, and the reason is because they want to get, now that they're becoming more modernized, they want to get into business. They're a big producer of cashmere. Like fashion, we talked about fashion. They're just naturally into fashion, so that's a big industry for them. And so also minerals, they're finding a lot of minerals there. So they want to get into business, and the way you do that is by learning English. as a matter of fact, we went to a college as well and did ministry there, Ulaanbaatar University, Mongolia International University, and The college actually teaches in English. So, And so there's a lot of people in Mongolia that are learning English. So, yeah.
All right. Well, greetings. Yeah, as was already mentioned, yeah, my husband and I have been in China for 13 years. And so when I heard Patrick and their team was going to Mongolia, I thought, I have to join up with them. We'd been in Mongolia a couple of times before that, and so we had contact with Father's Love Church there. And so we were able to, join together the several churches and have a great impact. I just wanted you to know that your the funds that you, that you invested in Eddie and the team were actually well used, and there was a great, powerful ministry there. And, you know, I was really amazed, you know, because, two different teams came together and we hadn't really had a chance to be together, pray together beforehand, but the Lord really put us together in a really amazing way. And, it was really, we could really see the Spirit of God moving, to bring unity. And, there were challenges, but I think through love and humility and surrender to one another, the Lord really worked it out and used us, for His glory. And, I just really want to encourage you that, there's nothing special about us. I am very normal person. I have struggles. I have fears. I have challenges, but, if we just step out, it's just like step into the, just step out and God will be there to meet you. And, we really found that that was true. And one testimony I'd like to give is, I'm very familiar with the Father's, Love Church because they're kind of part of the same, church group that we're part of in China. And, so I kind of understand the vision they have. You know, their vision really is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, which Jesus told us to do, right? And, Eddie, was scheduled to speak one morning. And, so he was just waiting on the Lord and asking God to show him what to speak. And God gave him a very fresh, word. And, it was really about, how they could grow their church. And, he gave the message about, each one just praying for someone in their neighborhood, someone, at their workplace or someone in their family, and just to start praying for one person. And after praying for him for a little while, just praying for an opportunity to share the gospel. And, it was really amazing because that is exactly the vision that church has. Actually, that is the teaching that church has. And so it was just such a confirmation, and it really came from the Spirit of God, right? And so it kind of showed us how much we are a part of each other, how what a family we are. And, even though Mongolia seems like maybe to many of us, like where on earth is Mongolia and what, who lives there and what are they like, but really God's, God's Spirit is the same everywhere. And when we went there, we found they were singing many of the songs that were familiar to us, but they were singing them in Mongolian. And, the Spirit of God is really, really the same. And we are one family, even though they have a very different culture and a very strange language. We are all one family in Christ. And, it was really awesome. And I just want to encourage you that, each of us have something from the Spirit of God that we have to share. And like I said, we're all the same. We're all weak. We all have struggles. We all have fears. But if we would just say, okay, God, I'm afraid my neighbor will reject me if I go and share the gospel with them, but I'm just going to go anyway and see what happens, It reminded me of the scripture. I don't know if you remember the story from the Old Testament where there were the children of Israel were all surrounded by the enemy, and the enemy was much stronger than they were. And it looked like they were ready to be devoured by the enemy. The enemy was just going to, come and smash them. And there were two lepers. I'm not sure how the story goes exactly, but there were two lepers, and they thought, let's just go down to the camp of the enemy. Hey, we've got nothing to lose. Yeah, we're lepers. We're going to die anyway. What the heck, Let's just go see what's happening. When they went down there, they found out the enemy had all run away. They had been scared away by some vision from God. And, they had left. They had left the camp and all their provisions there. And they were just able to, to take what they wanted. And I think that's the way it is with us. Sometimes if we would just say, God, what have I got to lose? I'm just going to go and talk to my neighbor. Go talk to my coworker, you know, they, you know, and see. And you know, you'll find out maybe that they're really open, they're really ripe. And that's something we really felt was that the harvest is ripe, yeah? And all we have to do is just go pick the fruit. It's ready, yeah. And so we were very encouraged by that, and very encouraged to see that the Holy Spirit is there working, yeah? All we have to do is maybe open our mouth or take the step, and God will be there to provide what we need to minister, yeah? So, man, God bless you. Questions?
You've been over there 15 years?
In China, yeah.
Have you noticed the state of oppression lessening or gaining ground?
I have. My husband would disagree with me, but I have. Yeah, I've seen some changes. It depends on where you are and when, you know, what the time is. But I think there is more openness to the gospel, but you can still get in trouble. So it's just, it's a kind of a very, you know, tenuous situation. Yeah. But, and it depends. Sorry? That's right. Exactly. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Keep praying, because we've seen that in many different areas. Keep praying for those countries, because God is changing things. And the gospel is going forward, even though there is, you know, a lot of laws and a lot of regulations and a lot of control still. The gospel is prospering in China. There's just amazing. It's probably the biggest harvest, you know, on the earth. Yeah. So, what the Lord declares that, you know, every tribe, every nation, every tongue will be before the throne worshiping God, and that's true. Yeah, the gospel is going forward in spite of the fact that people and the governments probably try to stop it and hinder it. It's like nothing is hindering the gospel. It's very powerful. Yeah, so we can boldly proclaim the truth because it's very powerful. Yeah, when the gospel is planted like the seed, right, it takes root. It will grow. Yeah, so we just need to proclaim it. Just speak it. Yeah? Amen. Any other questions before I hand it over to Phoebe? Okay.
Yeah, thank you again. That, you know, some of people ask something about, you know, the health, public health issues or social conditions or social service situation in Mongolia. I've been more having spent a little bit more time in knowing about their welfare, you know, social welfare or social service reality there. And the public health is a major issue right now, one of the major issues in Mongolia. The Mongolia, you know, majority of Mongolia land is countryside, actually. So Ulaanbaatar is a capital city, even though a lot of people more, you know, coming into that big city living, but a lot of family, they are extended family system, not nuclear. The people live in the inner city are the students or workers, basically. So, which means when they have time, they wanted to go back to countryside, reunion with the family members, like parents there, grandparents there. Like, you know, this is, Corning is a countryside. This morning we drive, come to see you, and then, wow, let's go to countryside. There, I'll give you my love. The Mongolia people is a countryside mindset. They're very open heart. But when the Mongolia turned to be more from communist country to more democratic society, you know, it's 1991 when the Russia collapsed, right? So since that time, you know, there is a lot of change, dramatic changes in many, many areas in their life. One of their public health issues there. Now, if they don't have money, then I asked someone there, actually my the Christian sister, what if we don't have money, then we have to die. Because everything was provided by government system in the communist, right? Under the communist, right? And then part of that support from Russia, actually. Russia has supported a lot materially, or some way I heard that, the Mongolian people now no more support from Russia, and they have to all do their own way, and then it's no longer communist, all capitalizing, you know, modernizing process take place right now. So there is a huge gap between the wealth and the poor right now. And one of the stories that I experienced there, the reality of the society is a very unstable, a very rapid developing condition in road condition or electricity or running water. Like someone asked about, what about, you know, no running water? Yeah, some houses in countryside, they have to, you know, except, you know, some recreation area, but, you know, mainly they have no, like we have here, no water system like that. But where we stayed as a faculty apartment, we stay as a team there for 2 weeks. Sometimes we didn't have, you know, waters. It stopped. No hot waters. Sometimes we didn't have electricity over almost 3 days. So given the situation, I thought the Mongolia people, you know, don't care about, you know, what is given. They are very patient. Very patient. No complaint. I never heard about any complaint from their mouth. And then, but we are not used to it, you know, and so we, so what I'm saying, I was sick one day, and then, the Father's Love Church, you know, sister came to me, help her to, have me to come to hospital, Leo there. But there was a Saturday, so the hospital was closed. She said, we can call the doctor. And the doctor came immediately. Oh my gosh, that was so, because, you know, yeah, because we pay in dollar, they charge $20 actually. So $10 is for health, you know, doctor's visitation to home, face to face, a very fast coming. That I first experienced. Oh, the health system, if someone has money, then get benefits very immediately. So even they gave me, the doctor gave me shocks, I recover very quickly. So that kind of a situation, that there are a lot of homeless children, they live under the ground in the Ulaanbaatar, the capital city. So one day we walk down on the downtown, and then there was a manhole that wasn't completely covered, you know, on the street. By mistake, she slept down there, you know, fall down a little bit, not deep, but she got some scratch on her leg. But those, in the morning, those children came out of from the ground, and then, you know, for their living situation. And, yeah, we see a lot of drunken, like Patrick showed us a video, you know, the drunken alcoholism is a major social issues right now. And also what's interesting to me is women have the equal rights. I have, you know, talk a lot of young women there. And then I was asking, you know, is there any gender differences or any sexisms or discriminations against women? They all come out and say, no, we don't have any discrimination, whatever we want. We could go higher education, we do. But now in Mongolia, the women's status is a little bit more higher than men after communist is over. Because in the communist system, everyone could have a job, actually, men and women, right? Now under the this new system, women have more favored to get a job in government, the jobs and all. So one of the family issues is domestic violence, the alcoholism involved, and divorce rate is increasing in there too. So on top of those, you know, reality, the one thing I want to share about is prophetic conference that Patrick addressed early on. I see the power of a prophecy there, in prophetic encouragement. I see, you know, how important that we know when God called our name, we rise up. We rise up. And then when we heard the voice of God, that means, you know, God has a divine destiny. I connected to prophetic confidence, knowing divine destiny. So they know they can do, but they are not sure the knowledge of a divine destiny God has planned for them. So when we, especially in a Patrick taught that one very practical way, very easy way to follow through, they rise up. They declare, this is me. That I have not known that much clearly. Now I know. Now I know. I clearly have seen that moment, you know, when I prophesied, I see visions that I share that this is me. One lady from countryside joined that conference days, and she was one of a worship leader's friends. She came to that conference the first time. When I prayed over her, I saw gold crown in the surrounding mountain countryside area. I show about, I saw gold crown, but it's surrounded by, you know, countryside mountain, kind of mountain. Its surrounding is very dark, but gold crown is shining, rising up brightly. I come from countryside, I come from mountain, she said, she knows this is me. Yeah, I was wondering if I have to pray continuously or not. Now I'll go back to my church, pray every morning. She had been prayed every morning, but she alone, always alone. Now she got more confidence. This is God's calling for her. So when we shared in a prophetic encouragement for each of them, they do each other very well. They do really in advanced level. So that's all I can say. Thank you. Question? Oh, the wall. The main system is underground wall. They have to go, have to draw the, you know, go that well. Woman at the wall, like that. Yeah, that way.
Yeah, so, I mean, as everyone's talking, I could think of like a million other stories, not literally, but a lot of stories that I would love to share with you guys. And so feel free to come and talk to us after. What was that? Oh, sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Feel free to, we'll stick around a little bit if you have any questions and stuff. A bunch of cool stories. So, amazing healings, you know, just miraculous stuff you hear about. And so it was really cool. Really amazing. So I have a word to share with you guys. So if you could turn your Bibles to, Matthew 28. Verses 18, 19, and 20. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to wake up. So let's pray, yeah? Father, we love you, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are in our midst, God. God, that you dwell within us, God. That you are our hope, God. The hope of glory, Christ in us, God. We thank you, Jesus. God, that you love each and every one of us, God, and you have a great destiny, God. For each person here, Lord God, you have a great destiny and a dream and a plan, God, for good, God, for hope, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, God, that everyone in here, Lord God, is your favorite, Lord. That you favor everyone in here, God. Lord, that your thoughts for everyone in this place, God, are innumerable, Lord. You have not forgotten any one of us, left us or forsaken us, God, but we are in the palm of your hand, Lord God, and we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your goodness, God. God, open our hearts to your word, oh God. Jesus' name. So, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, his disciples. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Excuse me. I just see God really in this country, in this region, in this church. God's grace is being poured out, you know? And God is beginning to restore the church, you know? And He's not building walls up. He's not building prettier buildings. He's restoring our perspective. He's restoring the ministry, right? He's bringing restoration to the building of God, God's people. Amen? And with that comes an adjustment, right? A refining, a challenging of everything we think we know. Right? Our perspectives. He's challenging our perspectives. Right? And he's bringing adjustment. He's refining. Amen? I need a fresh perspective. Amen? Because I want to make a difference. I want to give my life. I don't want to give my time to the things of the world or a man-made system. I want to follow God. Amen? I want to give my life as a sacrifice unto the advancement of the kingdom. Amen? That Jesus Christ, my King, will be glorified. Huh? I don't want to waste any time. God, give me a fresh perspective. Amen? Let that be the cry of your heart. God, let me see things clearly. Amen? That's His will. It says in Colossians chapter 1, it says that you will be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We don't have to be in darkness. We don't have to be in the mystery. We can have clarity. Filled with the knowledge of His will. In wisdom, in all wisdom, in all spiritual understanding, it says. That's God's plan and His will for our lives, and that's my prayer for you all. As Apostle Paul prayed for the church in Colossians, so we need to pray for ourselves. Amen? God, fill me with the fullness. Chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, I believe. So, the reality of it is the Great Commission. This is known as the Great Commission, right? Has become, in the United States, not so great. That's the reality. And it hurts. But it's okay. Right? Man, because you know what? The place that I'm at in my life, I'm not perfect. I don't have perfection in every area of my life. I don't. But it's okay where I'm at, because I continue to say yes to Jesus. I continue to follow God with my heart, and when I fail, I get back up and I say, God, give me the strength to live for you. Amen? So the church is in the same place. It's not perfect, but God's grace is there. Amen? His grace is here. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? We're in Christ. We're not condemned because we have a false, because we're not so great in the commission, right? But God, we could pray and say, God, give us a fresh perspective. In the areas of our lives where I fail, God, give me a fresh perspective in this area of my life that I'll glorify you in this place. God, I want to surrender my entire life to you, God. So in the same way, let's surrender this part of the ministry to God. Say, God, give us a fresh perspective on the Great Commission. Amen? Right here, this was the final thought. Okay? He had walked with His disciples. He had trained His disciples about love, about prayer, about intimacy with God, about love for one another. He had been teaching His disciples for a long time now. And this was the final thought. Amen? This is where it all led to. The love. Loving one another, loving God, prayer, identity, all led up to this. Amen? Listen. And look, He called, when He went to, and when He commissioned these people, when this portion of scripture was recorded, this final thought, this great commission, was not told to thousands of people. He didn't say, gather the multitudes, here comes the final thought, the great commission. He told it to His 11 disciples. He told 11 people, go into all the nations change the world, he told 11 people to change the world. Every one of you in this place can make a difference in this world. An eternal difference in this world. He didn't call the multitudes, he called 11. And he's calling us, this church. Amen? He's calling you, bro. To make a difference. He said, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's saying, all power is mine. All ability is mine. All authority is mine, says Jesus. And you are mine. They understood that they were one with Christ. He spoke to them of the vine and the branch. They understood that they were one in Christ. That He was in them and Him in them. And they were all one. As He declared that I have all power, so do we. Amen. He says, go therefore. Go therefore. Since we have been given all power, since we are one with Christ, since He's given us the precious promises, everything that pertains unto godliness, the power of the Spirit, since we've been given those things, go, He says, into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us. Amen? He didn't say, I was with the 11. He said, I'm with you until the end of the world. Because guess what? The 11 were gone a long time ago. He's still here until the end of the world. He's with us, His people. Empowering us. Calling us. Amen? Great commission. So I just want to share a quick story. Something that really stood out to me also in Mongolia. I met a lot of missionaries. I met missionaries. A lot of young missionaries. A lot of female missionaries. Young female missionaries. And I literally would just look at them. And I'd just be amazed with their commitment. A people who left everything behind. Left their dreams behind. Left families behind. Left education behind. Left their entire lives behind to go. To hear the call of God and go. And give their everything for the advancement of the kingdom. And guess what? These people were committed. They weren't wasting any time. Imagine leaving everything here, going to Mongolia. You're going to get there and you're going to say, okay, what's the plan, God? Where do I start? It's time to go. I don't want to waste any time. I'm not all the way over here. I didn't leave everything behind for nothing. Hear my God. Give me a mission. Give me a plan. Give me a vision. I want to start now. I don't want to waste a moment. I've left everything behind. God, I'm following you. Amen. These disciples left everything behind to follow Jesus Christ. He called them. They left their homes. They left their jobs. They left everything behind to follow God. And He said, now go. Now that you've left everything behind, now that you've learned about me, now that you learned who you are, now that I've empowered you, go. It's the call. Amen? It's what it's all about. Now listen. I also left everything behind. You all who are in Christ Jesus have left your old life behind. You have left everything behind. You are following Jesus Christ. Now go into the nations and make a difference. Amen. And guess what? You don't have to go very far to find need. Amen. The neighbors, this church, this community needs missionaries, needs children of God to say yes to the call to go. To recognize that we have everything that pertains to that. Everything that's needed. All power. We're empowered. We can do it. Amen? Mongolian missionaries were going to Mongolia. There was missionaries going to other countries, but their mission was to touch their country, because guess what he says? First start in Jerusalem. Right? Jesus says, go. Start in Jerusalem. Start in your hometown and go out from there. And they were doing that. They were going into the countryside. They were going to make a difference. We can do that here. God is raising people up like us. They're going wherever God tells us to go. You could tell people at your job. You could tell your neighbor the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Make a difference. And I had a word, just a quick word, because I don't want to make this a job. It's not like, okay. It's like, seriously, it's like the Great Commission has become almost like, the Great Commission and outreach are its own little thing. It's like outreach and Great Commission. Okay, we send missionaries. And outreach, we go and reach this country, you know? No, hold on. A lifestyle, you know? And it's a lifestyle that's birthed out of receiving the ministry of Jesus Christ in your life. Right? This is a word I heard from Chandra's pastor from Reading. Profound word, very simple word, spoke to my heart. He said, there's three steps to the life of God. Jesus, he said, the kingdom of God is all about Jesus Christ. All about Jesus. Yet Jesus chooses to come and engage us. Even though everything is all about Him, He's all about us. And He ministers to us. He wants to come and bless and minister to your heart and into your life. That's what He wants to do. That's what He loves to do. Number two most important thing, right, is ministering to God. Right? You minister to God through the ministry of Jesus Christ in your own life. We say yes to God, He ministers to our life. Jesus blesses us. In turn, we can bless well God in return. We can worship God now in the Spirit and in truth because we're allowing Jesus Christ to minister to our lives and bless our lives and fill us with the Spirit, right? So as we simply sit at the feet of Jesus Christ and allow Him to minister to our lives, right? Minister to our hearts, bless us, we can in turn worship God in the truth and in spirit, not because it's a job. We can pray to God endlessly, interceding because it's out of a heart of ministry to God because we've allowed Jesus to minister to us, right? Number three, ministering to those around us. Ministry, church, the Great Commission comes naturally when one and two are in order. Amen? When one and two are in order, three comes naturally. Don't put three first. That's what people do. We put three first. I put three first a lot. So God, help us. So, yeah, that's the word, you know? It's simple. It's simple. And imagine what they thought when He told the 11, go into all the nations. One might think, whoa, they might have been blown away, but I believe they were extremely confident. When He said, go into the nations and make a difference and change the world, they were excited. They said, we can do this. I know that we can do this. Because I have the Spirit of God in me. Jesus Christ lives inside of me and I know I can do it. So He can tell me the most radical thing and I'll believe Him. So guess what? He's calling us, all of us. And it's not about you and your abilities. It's about you saying yes to Jesus Christ and the work of His Spirit in your heart and your life, allowing Him to minister to you, and He'll take care of the rest. Amen? So, let's pray. God, we thank You, Jesus. God, You love us, God. You, Lord, care so much for each one of us. God, and I just pray for everyone here, Lord God. Lord God, that we would commit ourselves to just simply sitting at Your feet, Lord God, and receiving Your ministry, God, in our lives, God. For You love us. You are a loving Father who loves to pour out Your love on us, God. that we would slow down, Lord, and just receive the love of Jesus in our hearts, God. That we would be filled with the Spirit, God. That we would in turn worship You, God, with everything within us, God. Lord, and that the love of Jesus Christ would just naturally radiate from us, God. And we would make a difference in this world, Lord. We thank You, God. Jesus' name. So, I know this is kind of late, but we're going to do a time of prayer. And whoever, we're going to bless some people. If you guys got to go, that's okay. You know? If you got to go, I know it's kind of late, but we're going to open up the altars. We want to bless you all. God wants to bless us. God wants to minister to us, you know? Jesus wants to minister to your heart. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to touch your body. So if you have sicknesses, illness, Jesus can heal you, you know? We want to pray for you. You want to hear a word from God come up? God wants to speak to you. You want a fresh touch from God? Man, Jesus Christ is all about that. He loves you, so. Joel, if you could put on some worship, if you got some available, please. And just have a blessed day. And thank you all for having us and ministering with us and partnering with us in this. And we are not all done. Mongolia is ours. No, I'm kidding. It's ours. We're going to go back. So, yeah, so be blessed and have a good day. And like I said, come up and get some prayer and come up and get blessed for sure. And I thank you, Pastor, for having us. Yeah, we love you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Patrick, you want the mic, man? Patrick's really good at leading these things, so.
How's it going? I know I have a couple words for people, and then maybe we could, I think if that word spoke to your heart, about going out and being a witness, you know, I feel like there's some people here that you say yes to that, but you're kind of like, okay, Lord, what do I do? You know, I just want to invite you to come up here and just listen to God because, you know, God will lead you. It says that Jesus said, I send you the Holy Spirit and He will teach you all things. He didn't say like, I'll send you a conference or, you know, I'll send you Bible college, you know. Those are all good things, but He said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. And that's something that you all have. And so I just want to give you opportunity to come up and just listen to God. And if you're like, I don't know how to do that, you know, how to be a witness in my community, or if you feel like your vision has been lost or something like that, God wants to begin to burn in your heart. So I want to invite you to come up. Kind of before we do that, I just have a couple words. One is this young gentleman here. You got kind of camouflage shirt on. What's your name? Charles? Oh, yeah. Could I encourage you? Yeah. I was looking at you during worship and I kept thinking that you reminded me of somebody. Then I thought, no, he doesn't remind me of anybody. But it just kept coming back. And so I said, Lord, what is that? And I felt like He said that your best days are yet ahead. You know, I feel like He has a call on your life and that He didn't show me what it was, but He said that He's got just a special call for your life in the days ahead, and your best days are yet ahead. So I heard Him say, you know? And so, I just encourage you to ask Him what that is, you know? And I feel like He said it's not time to retire. You know, it's time to go out there and do what God's called you to do. So, amen. Sounds good. Yeah. Amen, huh? And also this gentleman back here, you got like a striped shirt, shaved head. That's not you? The Lord says you got a shaved head. And he knows what he's talking about. What's your name?
David.
I was looking at you and I saw this fire, right, above your head. It was a fire. And it just reminded me of the book of Acts. It says that tongues of fire came down upon their heads, right? There was like this fire burning on top of them. And it was the Holy Spirit filling them with power, right? And it says tongues of fire came down upon them and they began to speak in new tongues. And I saw that happening to you. And I feel like God is just filling you with His fire, you know? And the fire is that power to go out and to be a witness. I saw that before even, you know, the word was spoken. It was during worship. And I just feel like the Lord really has something powerful for you to impart to people. Then I saw it was kind of like, I feel like you're kind of a thinker, maybe, you know, like you really kind of, okay, you're thinking about stuff. And I saw God taking you from the mind to the spirit. You know what I'm saying? It's like you want to think about it, you want to figure it out, but you're moving more towards where you're just following the spirit. You know, it's okay to be a thinker. It's okay to have, you know, a mind. God gave us a mind, but sometimes God is beyond our mind, and it's like He's calling you. He said, just follow my spirit, and I'll do mighty things. And I just saw you being led by that fire. It says that the Israelites were led by a fire by night. And I saw Him taking you into dark places, but the fire was the light, right? And God's fire is going to lead you into some dark places, but you're going to see God do powerful things. Amen. Is that, and I feel like this, even this, you know, I saw tongues of fire. I feel like the gift of tongues is important for you to encourage yourself, to build yourself up. And you may not, I mean, I almost saw you wrestling with, is this, I don't get this. I don't get it. But just follow the Spirit and just do it and He will lead you. Does that make sense? So, come on, praise God. Let's just pray. Was it David? Let's pray for David. So, God, we just thank You for David and the call on his life, and the wonderful things You want to do. God, would You pour out Your Spirit and Your grace on him? God, I just agree with You that You're going to teach him and lead him in everything You've called him to do. So we thank You, Lord, and just encourage Your son, God. Fill him with more of Your Spirit, God. Open up the doors of opportunity to minister in those dark places and to bring the light of Christ in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. So, you know, sometimes God encourages people that need encouragement, but He's got a word for all of you, and all you got to do is listen to Him. So let's just, if that word spoke to you, I just want to invite you up to come for prayer. And our team just wants to impart to you, just pray for you. So is that anybody? Maybe you all are there already, I don't know. There you go. Anybody, come on up if that word speaks to you and you just want more of God's heart to burn in you and more of a vision for this community.